WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. A vigil was held in Louisville early to remember the five people killed in Monday's shooting rampage at a downtown bank. It came as CBS's Christian Benavides reports after the city released 911 calls from the attack. Audio some may find disturbing.
Oh my God, there's an active shooter there.
Louisville Metro Police released the 911 calls that sent officers racing to the Old National Bank Monday morning.
I just saw the white man, dark hair.
Employees were hiding as they called to get help.
Is that shooting? Shots fired.
A memorial is growing on the steps of the downtown bank where five people were killed.
Huge fire in Richmond, Indiana, that sent plumes of black smoke into the air yesterday is now under control, but it could burn for days. It has forced schools to close and hundreds were evacuated. WTTV-TV's Max Lewis reports.
The mayor said the business has been a fire hazard for years and has been fighting in court since at least 2019 to get the owner to clean it up. The Department of Homeland Security tells CBS News the smoke is diluted as it escapes into the air, and the immediate concern is for the first responders in close proximity to the flames.
The federal government is monitoring Colorado river conditions that could lead to water shortages affecting tens of millions of Americans. CBS's Ben Tracy on what Washington is considering if the states involved don't come to an agreement on their own.
Under one proposal, the Interior Department would impose even cuts of up to 25% on California, Arizona, and Nevada. A second option would largely spare California because of its senior water rights, but hit Arizona hard.
A southern state wants to slash grocery bills. CBS's Monica Ricks explains.
Lawmakers in Alabama are now considering removing or phasing out grocery taxes. It's one of only three states that taxes groceries like other products. Advocates say it would benefit low-income families the most. The average family in Alabama spends about $600 a year on grocery taxes.
E-cigarette maker Juul will pay millions for marketing its vaping products to young users. More from CBS's Steve Futterman.
The company will dish out $462 million to six states and the District of Columbia. New York Attorney General Letitia James.
Juul misled consumers about the health risk of their products. The e-cigarette company falsely led consumers to believe that its vapes were safer than cigarettes.
Juul has also agreed to place its products behind retail store counters.
Former President Trump is scheduled to sit for a deposition tomorrow at the offices of New York State Attorney General Letitia James. Her office sued Trump, three of his children, and the Trump Organization for orchestrating an extensive fraud scheme. This is CBS News.
Streamline how you hire with Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com.
Ready for a journey to Flavortown? Head over to Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill. They've been serving up the best food in Wrigleyville for 8 years and counting. From their famous smoked chicken wings to their tempura battered cheese curds, every bite is a trip to flavor heaven. And with hospitality that's second to none, you'll feel right at home. So why wait until after the game? Rev up your taste buds and join them at Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill at 3478 North Clark Street in Chicago. Check out their menu on Facebook.
As a veteran of our country's armed services, you may be experiencing hardships, but we are clear in our mission. No Wisconsin veteran should ever have to face homelessness or lose heat, power, or water again. Apply today by calling 833-WIS-VRAP. That's 833-947-8727. Visit VRAPWI.com.
Governor Tony Evers, Tim Michaels said you had gone, quote, full woke. Dr. Jill Underley said that somebody who says that has no idea what we're doing in schools to make sure kids feel safe.
We want to make sure all kids feel supported. Tim Michaels, we don't teach CRT in our schools. You got to come to the present century here, Tim, and be cognizant of what actually goes in the schools. My guess is you've never been in a public school in Wisconsin.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Greg Bach is here because it is Greg Bach Hump Day Wednesday. Greg Bach, what is this hour called?
The No Sour Ha Ha Fun Time Power Hour.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry.
It's right for today.
It's right for today.
Oh, it's, you know, right. What, Jane? Can you ever be on my side? Ever?
Weekdays 11 to 2.
What do you think got me this job, Greg Bach?
Oh, darn it. Shoot. I'm in.
On Civic Media.
Happy Fun Time Ha Ha Power Hour.
And the Civic Media app. You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999. And again, 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats. And there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Monday mornings at 8 on The Shaw and on the Civic Media app.
Courage. I learned it from my adoptive mom.
Hold my hand.
You hold my hand.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
It's great to be here to speak directly to the woke mob.
The liberals have basically made up this whole agenda that guacamole is made of avocados. It's not the truth.
Ticked off, tee off. This is it.
Scobody boo boo. Scobody dog.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Well, who will run against Tammy Baldwin is the next question. Who do you think will run? 844-967-2789, because as of this morning, Tammy Baldwin has announced her re-election bid because we're all ready for the next election, right?
Oh, let's do it again.
If we didn't, we got a week and a day before we start talking about our next election that will be heated and statewide and expensive. Tammy Baldwin announces re-election bid saying Wisconsin needs someone who can fight and win. So now, inevitably, the question becomes, who will run against her? 844-967-2789. Anyone you think is a good guess? Anyone you would like to see run if you were someone who typically votes Republican? I don't know if there's any specific front runners at the moment. I've heard names get kicked around.
Right.
But I have not heard anyone
step up yet.
Certainly not step up yet, but or even really seem like they are doing the things that one does as they prepare for a statewide race. Have you?
Well, now that she has formally announced, which I don't think anyone is surprised by, there may be some more focus now as, you know, I'm going to be the one to take her on. I'm going to be the one who can take her on and win.
Maybe. I mean, I think the most obvious, or like at least the person who feels like they have the most name recognition would be Mike Gallagher as a congressman?
Yeah, I guess. That certainly would make sense as a next step for him, right? Because he's in the House of Representatives right now. So getting elected to the Senate would be a step up.
Certainly. But I also don't think he necessarily wants to lose his seat in Congress.
Yeah.
And I think she's a formidable candidate. I mean, she, considering she won by 11 points last time, while Governor Evers had beaten in 2018, beat Scott Walker by a point. And so she is certainly someone who I think, as much as there's some people on the right who I think want to call her ineffective, she does a lot for Wisconsin as far as she kind of keeps her head down. Yep. And a lot of the bills that she passes, like the dairy, not passes, introduces, like the Dairy Act. And more recently, the CURD Act.
The CURD Act, which is one of my favorites. I love the CURD Act.
And so I'm interested to see what names get thrown out. So if you have ideas, 844-967-2789. Who do you think will run against Tammy Baldwin? Or I guess a separate question, are you ready for another election? And so I don't know if I am, as far as having only 1 week to separate the last one from the next one. I was kind of looking forward to a little bit more of a break to talk about other things for the rest of this year.
But you make a good point, Kristen, in that she does accomplish things. She's just not a grandstander. I don't think she's come off that way. And she's done a lot of work with Wisconsin farmers. She's done some bipartisan things, which I know is a dirty word, but I think whoever is going to challenge her is going to be in a tough spot to smear her.
Yeah. And I think there's also times where it feels like, do you want to, it's interesting to me because sometimes she's just, you know, she's so much the nice lady, like the Wisconsin nice lady. And I think it's interesting to compare to other women who have run. You know, I heard feedback once, people talking about like the angle that Rebecca Clayfish took. And instead of taking the Wisconsin nice lady, they kind of wanted to make her into this fighter.
Right.
And I think that I don't know Rebecca Clayfish enough. But as far as like the type of personality that I think people in Wisconsin embrace, and there is something about Tammy Baldwin, obviously, since she was a congresswoman before she was in the Senate, but this will be her potential three-peat if she were to get elected again.
844-967-2789. Who will run against Tammy Baldwin for her Senate seat? Who would you like to see run? 844-967-2789, or should they just let her run unopposed?
What do you think, Greg Bach?
I got one name. Scott Walker.
Despite the fact that he said that he would be bored, he'd be too bored being a senator. What was that, like a month ago he said that when he was interviewed?
He is addicted to power. He's addicted to attention. And I think that man, I would not. Yeah, I think he's going to throw his hat in the ring.
You think more of he would run for senator more than president?
Yeah, he can't run for president again. That's not going to happen again. He flamed out so hard on Koch brothers money that it's embarrassing. He's going to run. He's going to stay in the state. He wants to build. Every Republican wants to build that Tommy Thompson legacy because Tommy Thompson is the Ronald Reagan of Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. People revere him. And I think Scott Walker is wanting to build that legacy for himself. And I think that if he can't be governor, which the state has told him, no, you can't this time, I think he'll go for senator and it'll put him on a bigger platform. And maybe he'll use that to run for president. But that guy is not running for president anytime soon, in my opinion. And if he does, it's a fool's errand.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard for me to imagine at this point because he's had so many losses in a row. And losses not because of him just losing since 2018, but people he's backed. Mm-hmm. And I think the slippage, the slippage in the WoW counties, is that what we're officially calling it? And you know what I mean? As far as, I mean, that's like every story that comes out after every statewide election is what's been happening in Waukesha County and the other WoW counties. And I think specifically all of the looking at the data from this last election is what is the stronghold anymore besides rural Wisconsin, which certainly is still more red, but there's not as many people who live out there. So like, does the same thing that worked for him in 2010 and 2014 still, is it still there?
But I think what he's doing now is through his social media presence and his work with the Young Americans Foundation, he's starting to carve a new identity for himself, because before it was about that typical Republican swagger of like, less government, blah, blah, blah. Now he's starting to comment on hot button issues that he never talked about before. I mean, he had a strong opinion on gay marriage, but at the time it was a losing battle. Now he's starting to weigh in on more social issues. That's maybe getting him attention. I don't know. But
yeah.
But I think that man is delusionally entertaining an idea.
Interesting. I wouldn't have picked up on that, mostly just because he said he's like, I'm not going to run for that.
I mean, the thing is like right now, Wisconsin has no big time kid. Like, there's nobody in the background going, oh, that's a rising star right there. Like everybody, it's just been knock them down, knock them down, knock them down. And like Tim Michaels wasn't that great of a candidate. Mm-hmm. He was a billionaire businessman who just wanted to be governor. Dan Kelly, need I say more?
Do you think Rebecca Clayfish runs?
That's an interesting thought.
That would be hilarious.
That's a really interesting thought. And that would actually be pretty smart on the Republican side. 844-967-2789. Who will run against Tammy Baldwin? Who would you like to see run against Tammy Baldwin? 262 checking in. My prediction, Ron Johnson will be bold and decide to run for both Wisconsin Senate seats.
I think we should just say, like, you know what? Let's just have Tammy Baldwin run against Ron Johnson, and then she can have both seats too then. I mean, I'd like that, you know, no holds barred. Winner take all. Let's get some wrestling rules in here.
Because it's not bad enough that the Senate, in the way that it's set up, that states like, there's like five states that have less of a population than California.
Yeah.
And yet they get 10 seats to California's two.
Yeah.
But, you know, I get it. That's the way that the Senate is set up. But I just, in most other, what I understand is in a lot of other governments where there is two chambers and one that is proportional representation based on the population, and then one is that is standard for each province or, you know, the for us states, but it's not the upper chamber.
Yeah.
And so the fact that the Senate has so much more power than the Congress, and yet there are states that are the size of Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And they get to decide who our judges are and who our justices are and all of the filibustering and all everything like that. It's like, well, maybe that is a little backwards.
Dexter,
maybe not.
Dexter from the 414, I find it interesting that for the longest time we've been told how deep the Republican bench is. Interesting. Tim Michaels moved back to Wisconsin because Rebecca was considered too weak. Dan Kelly really showed how deep that bench really is. Scott Walker has too much hatred. If you think Wisconsin was galvanized this last election, just have Walker run and he wouldn't make it out of the primary. Walker is done. He also likes his high-priced do-nothing job. And I was looking up exactly how much he's getting paid for head of the YAF. It's not public, but the person who held the job before him earned slightly more than $1 million a year.
Power supersedes money.
You think?
Yeah.
Because he's not a wealthy man.
No.
Is he? No?
Scott Walker, he certainly wasn't.
Oh, well, I mean, they never are, right? At least, I mean, some start as already wealthy.
Yeah.
But you just look at one look at Kristen Sinema and what her net wealth was prior to becoming a senator to what it is now. It went from like $30,000 to like $11 million.
Yeah, that's
like, well,
that's quite a leap.
That is motivation for someone to run. You're like, oh, that is quite a leg up in life from where you start. And so, what do you think? Who do you think? What are some of the names that you're hearing kicked around as far as who will run against Tammy Baldwin? I'm not sure it's a surprise that she is running again, but we have a comment on the live stream. You can join us on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter, as always, and leave a comment there. But Jim Denny says, Dan Kelly trying to prove that he's not a putz. And
Jim, I love that word, putz.
And then Michael says, I am not sure if Walker could win a primary against a MAGA candidate. Is Walker not a MAGA candidate?
He's starting to push himself as one. If you look, he's a wolf in sheep's clothing.
All right, well, we will keep this going through the break. Stick with us. 844-967-2789. Who will run against Tammy Baldwin? This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The Devil's Advocates.
Now, we've met Ted Cruz more than once.
Yes, he has very slippery hands.
And once in Ishiwaka, Indiana.
He was so desperate, he literally walked into this diner with families eating and shook every single person's hand, whether they wanted him to or not. And some of the kids were like, what, Bobby?
He was invading lots of bubbles. Bobby, make the greasy man go away.
I can smell the desperation, Mommy.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music, and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Lows level off around 57 overnight under clear skies. Winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Clear skies again tomorrow. Highs level off around 80. Lows dip down to about 52 tomorrow night. Temps well above average Friday and Saturday with highs in the mid-70s. Chance for scattered thunderstorms Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Hite. Currently, it's 66 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Metnair, and he is Greg Bach. And we are talking about the next election because we haven't had enough of the election cycle. I almost didn't want to start with this because of that, because I was like, well, is it too soon? I mean, it's the breaking news of this morning for sure, even though I'm not sure anyone's surprised by it. But I also am ready to not talk about elections for a little while.
Election fatigue. But it is the reality of the situation. So we got to, you know, we just had a big victory. Was it only last week?
It was only a week and a day ago. Literally a week ago, we were sitting here with Joe Zepecki.
That's right.
And for the first, like, 2 hours, we basically talked about the election. And now...
That feels a month ago.
And noon today, because our good friend Dan Schaefer is coming on at noon, because he did what I did after the fall election and went on vacation the day after the election. And so, like, I went on my honeymoon the day after the midterms, and he yesterday, or last week on Wednesday, left for vacation with his family. And so he missed all of the, like, post-mortem. I think he was still on Twitter. He didn't totally check out, which I'm going to call him on. But the, and so we brought, want to bring him on the show so he can get it out of his system. Beyond writing his takeaways for the recombobulation area to kind of talk about, you know, a week out, what are his... What are his big takeaways? And we'll also talk to him about the DNC.
Oh, yeah.
Because he has strong feelings. Do you have strong feelings
about
that?
Yeah, I really do. I do. I do.
Do you have strong feelings about?
I don't.
I don't either.
I really don't. And the other big convention news, the RNC will be holding its first presidential debate here in Milwaukee.
I think, was that just news? I thought they announced that a couple weeks ago.
Well, it's official as of yesterday.
Ronna McDaniel. Is she married to a Romney?
She's related to the Mitt Romney.
She's a, yeah, I think.
Is Romney her maiden name?
Yes.
So she's a daughter? Niece?
She could be a niece. She took it out when she aligned with former President Trump because he didn't like Mitt Romney. So that's when she became Ronna McDaniel. Anyway,
can we play some telenovela music underneath this here?
Well, but it's also like all the Nepo babies who are like, I'm going to make it on my own. So I'm going to change Nicolas Cage, if you don't mind, instead of Nicolas Coppola.
She is the niece.
All right. Did not know that.
She's the daughter of Scott and Ronna. And that is Scott is the older brother of Mitt.
Baseball Mitt.
That's what I called him. Oh, I did that. What's up? Trump, come at me. I got better nicknames than you do. As far as like the last thing said with Michael regarding the MAGA candidate, I think that Scott Walker has a Kevin McCarthy problem where the mega fans will not see Scott Walker as a true Trumper mega person. But I also don't think there are enough people in Wisconsin to make that much of a difference. This isn't a national thing. This is a statewide thing. I think Scott Walker still has some legacy from his governorship because he certainly likes to talk about Act 10 and 32 a whole lot too. I just think he's building his legacy so he can run for something, but I think he'll run for Senate.
Who else? Like, I'm trying to think of who else was in the running. You think Kevin, what's his face? Who was the other guy who ran for governor? It was Rebecca, Tim Michaels.
Kevin Nichols.
Thank you. I was like, where is this last name?
I think
he's right around the corner in downtown Waukesha with his office. And so he's still doing stuff.
I think this whole little exchange between you and Jane shows just how much a chance he would have at beating Tammy. His yard sign would say, Kevin who?
I mean, I think that's the thing that's interesting is like, it's one thing to have a bench and be kicking around some names, but I could be wrong. There's no one who stands out. Truly, the only person that stands out to me that could viably do it is Mike Gallagher. And I don't even know statewide as far as... I think he's popular in his district.
His district, yes. Yeah.
And I think he, you know, on some of the stuff that he's doing with international affairs and stuff like that, like he's... I think he's someone who seemingly has played... it careful, right? As far as the MAGA stuff and the Trump stuff, and sometimes he reneges off of his Banana Republic insurrection talk, but he doesn't like dive head first into it. And so I think he toes that line where he hasn't said so much that it would be a ton of, I think, as far as a lot of things to use against him, as far as being so like for centrists and for moderates and for a lot of people who in Wisconsin seemingly are not into the Trump MAGA thing, I think, on face value, from what I know about him since I've been back, he's been able to somewhat, if you're a real politico, I think you follow it and you know that that's not necessarily true. But on its face, he doesn't seem like someone who is super MAGA.
He's not extreme.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's once again, fine, but with little to no name recognition outside of his district, and Republicans aren't, I think, really worried about leveling up policymakers and people who can, you know, better their brand. I think Scott Walker is an easy piece of candy. He's a name. He's been on Fox News, Newsmax, probably OAN. He's written books. I just
think there's no way he wins.
Maybe not, but wouldn't that ever stop the Republicans before? I mean, honestly, like right now, like we're talking about the bench here. They don't have much of a bench. Honestly, Democrats don't have much of a bench either, I would say. Like, Wisconsin...
I think they're starting to be more of a bench. Like, if you think about 2026, so I doubt Governor Evers will run for a third term.
Yeah.
And so you think about now, there's Josh Call, there's Lieutenant Sarah Rodriguez, there's Sarah Godlewski.
Oh, she'll always be
there's
running.
There's David Crowley. Chevy Johnson. Like, I think that there's starting... I would have said the same thing a year ago. I think there's now starting to be more statewide leaders on the Democratic side that Democrats like than I can see on the Republican side right now. Yeah. All right, we have to take another break, but when we come back... Did you go to Cardinal Stretch? Did you hear that they're closing? Do you have feelings about it? Are they a canary in a coal mine? We're going to talk about all of that when we come back. 844-967-2789. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
CBS News Brief. As police search for a motive, a vigil is held in Louisville, Kentucky to honor the victims of Monday's bank shooting. Tapes of the 911 calls have been released, and as CBS's Roxana Saberi reports...
Two people remain in the hospital, including police officer Nicholas Wilt. Shot in the head as he responded to the shooting, he remains in critical condition.
An evacuation order affects hundreds of people in Richmond, Indiana, after an industrial fire that is still burning but is contained. Lisa Walters works in the area.
So I went outside and there was a tremendous amount of smoke and a lot of flames happening at that point. And then there was a few explosions.
If states that rely on the Colorado River can't come up with a plan on how to avoid water shortages, Washington says it will do it for them. CBS's Ben Tracy.
Now, the Department of the Interior says it's not picking a side yet on how to make these water cuts, but if the states don't come to an agreement on their own, it will make a decision imposing cuts on them later this summer.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Ready for a journey to Flavortown? Head over to Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill. They've been serving up the best food in Wrigleyville for 8 years and counting. From their famous smoked chicken wings to their tempura battered cheese curds, every bite is a trip to flavor heaven. And with hospitality that's second to none, you'll feel right at home. So why wait until after the game? Rev up your taste buds and join them at Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill at 3478 North Clark Street in Chicago. Check out their menu on Facebook.
Milwaukee, you have to check out Mobcraft Beer, the world's first crowdsourced brewery, where they turn your ideas into beer. Stop in their downtown taproom to try flagships, seasonals, limited release crowdsourced brews that you won't find anywhere else, and more. Mobcraft also has a pizza kitchen making craft pies with the freshest ingredients. And enjoy their amazing taproom, featuring over 20 constantly rotating draft lines, indoor and outdoor seating on their dog-friendly patio, and a killer view of the Milwaukee skyline. Mobcraft Beer, located in the heart of Walker's Point in Milwaukee.
For more info, head to mobcraftbeer.com.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
I feel like all the women we have on our show, like our co-hosts, always get too famous for us. And then
I would just like to think that we are fertile ground from which they can blossom. We are the manure from which they spring.
The manure from which they spring. I was going to say holding fort, but I think your metaphor is way better.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
Women get a lot of advice about self-care these days, but one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Milwaukee's Cardinal Stritch University is closing at the end of the semester. Is this the canary in the coal mine for other small Wisconsin universities? 844-967-2789. How do you feel about Cardinal Stritch announcing that it's closing in 6 months?
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
Like that, it's not even, oh, we can do another year. It's like at the end of the semester that is currently in session, we got to go.
Goodbye.
And yep. I know, I'm sure in the Milwaukee area, you know, this is a smallish school. I think the annual attendance is like, enrollment is like between two and 3,000. And so if you don't live in Southeast Wisconsin, you may not be familiar with it, but it is, you know,
it's been around a long time.
I think it's
86 years.
Yeah, it was established in 1937. certainly not as old as Carroll College, which is around Carroll right. University around the corner,
right.
which is the oldest university in Wisconsin. But it would be interesting because they're also not a huge university. And I think in when you this is a private school, but there's a ton of conversation happening in the UW system for the 2-year schools. Obviously, there are a lot of, I know Todd Elba has talked about this a lot on his show from 8 to 11 on the Civic Media Network, which is in Richland Center, the UW-Platteville Richland Center school. Jay Rothman just basically decided that they're closing it, and there was not a lot of discussion, and so that has been that has caused a lot of anger over there. But simultaneously, now the Washington County is exploring merging with UW-Milwaukee, Washington County, in Moraine Park, into the Moraine Park Technical College, because I think a lot of places enrollment is dropping, and we may is it true? Is it possible that we just have too many schools, too many options for higher education, and all of the different options? There is just not enough people enrolling in schools to keep that many filled. 844-967-2789. Greg, what do you think?
I mean, so I had a friend, I have a friend who worked at Cardinal Stritch for a lot of years, and I wasn't surprised when I saw this, just because I'd seen all the budget cuts they've been making, all the layoffs they'd been doing over the years, and just finding ways to find money. And I didn't think it was going to happen. You know, like a school closing is just very odd, but and it being Cardinal Stritch, but I'm not certainly shocked about it, because it's just at some point you're like, can't do this. I mean, the article in the Journal Sentinel really laid it out. I mean, they were just suffering for the past like 7-8 years. They weren't, I mean, it was hard before, but like pandemic, I mean, dropping enrollment. I mean, I think it said it dropped 80% over the course since like 2007. I mean, I'm not surprised, and it's really sad, because it's really going to affect a lot of people.
Well, and especially they did a lot of Pell Grants at Cardinal Stritch, which really help out disadvantaged students, and they also had a fair amount of international students as well.
Yeah, they mentioned in there that people of color are going to be hit hard on this, because they don't know where they're going to be able to go from here, because they were getting those grants. And what I found interesting in the article, though, is it said that you know, you say canary in the coal mine, you think, okay, here's this one school, but and in the article it says it's somewhat rare, but they said like 4 to 12 schools, nonprofits close a year. I'm like, that doesn't seem like a canary. That seems like a lot.
Nationwide?
Nationwide. I mean, but still, like, that's still, I'm surprised that I'm hearing this for the first time, that so many schools are just closing their doors. Because it just doesn't seem, it seems weird to me.
Well, it's interesting. We were at Fish Fry last Friday with Mike's dad and my husband's dad and his wife, and we're all together. And his, my father-in-law's wife's grandson, who is a senior in Muskego, and he has a very good, so far he is making plenty of money flipping furniture. And like he is, like, and this is like, he has a business. Like he has a business flipping furniture. And for him right now, it's much, he's like, I, for now, I want to pursue this. And so he's not going to school next year. And I was asking, and like, I think that's great. You start a bit, you have a business that's working right now. You want to explore where that can take you. You can always go back. I have said multiple times, I was a non-traditional student. I didn't go to school right away. Greg, you were a non-traditional student. You dropped out of your school to then go to broadcasting school if your original 4 years. So it's like, this is no way prescribing saying that like you have to go to a 4-year university. This is such a tragedy. It's more that things are changing. And I was asking him about his business, but then he said that a lot of his friends have no, not even going to a technical school next year, just not going next year. Or maybe they're going to vocational programs or apprenticeships. Mm-hmm. And for him, and this was anecdotally in Muskego, but that just a lot of people aren't necessarily going. And so I think the bigger question is, I think there is, it's fair to lament these schools that have been an institution that have provided jobs, that have provided education, whether we're talking about UW-Platteville, Richland Center, or we're talking about Cardinal Stritch. But if there is just the amount of people who are, like young people who are actually going to college is dropping, and our population is dropping in general, as far as our birth rates and how many kids. Like, there was just this morning, Wisconsin's population has kind of recovered from like pre-pandemic levels.
Yes.
But it's because of people who moved here.
Yeah.
And it's not because of birth rate. And so is there ultimately going to be a come to Jesus moment of, it doesn't make sense to have all these schools?
It also brings up another conversation that I've been part of for since 2008. And now I'm like directly part of, because I went to technical schools. Good on that young man. If he's found a business that makes him money and he could be his own boss, that's awesome. I think that's something to explore. But the conversation does need to come around to the importance of vocational and technical schools, and the fact that a majority of the jobs out there that provide a good paying gig are trained through technical colleges. But because of this country's unwavering belief in the four-year education and so on and so forth, we're just seeing people pile themselves into debt, getting degrees that'll get them nowhere, when they could go to a school for 2 years and get training on a job that will make them so much money in the long run. But we see these schools, technical vocational schools, as less than. Oh, I'm going to MATC. Oh, you weren't able to get it. Okay, you're not going to go to like UWM? No, I'm going to go get trained as a plumber and make $69,000 a year. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, so I think that this, especially with the UW schools, it's bringing up another conversation, which is technical colleges, vocational colleges, and how we see them, how we should see them as just as important as the UW system, in my opinion. And
certainly. And I think what I don't understand, and I would need more clarity on, is for the UW 2-year colleges. Mm-hmm. So there's Waukesha, mm-hmm, and the Washington County that are, yep, affiliated with UWM.
Yes.
Like we said, there's Richland Center that was affiliated with UW-Madison. So like, what is the curriculum? Like, what is the main difference between a UW 2-year school and the Wisconsin Technical College system?
It's the education that's available. So like, I went to UW Waukesha right out of high school.
So that's the one that's affiliated with the UW system.
Now it is. Before, yes, it was UW Waukesha. This is back.
It was just
in,
its own thing.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, okay. UW Waukesha was a 2-year commuter school. It's where you went to get your gen ed courses for college, for a 4-year college education, and for a lot of students, myself included, bring up your GPA if you wanted to get to Madison, get to Milwaukee, or go to Marquette or something like that. But generally, you were trying to funnel yourself through the UW system. So those commuter schools, those 2-year schools, were more about that 4-year continuing education type of situation. Whereas I went to MATC. MATC is educational. Like, you can take an English course there. You can take a math course, but you can also take a barbering course. You can take car repair. You can take deeper computer study classes because they're trying to get you right into the IT world. So it's about the available classes that really sets a difference. I'm not going to go to UW Waukesha to learn how to pop a fade on someone. You know, that's...
When's the last time you popped a fade on someone?
I have not done a fade in a while.
Maybe we could nominate Mike Sampson to get a fade.
I would cut his hair. I would cut his hair. I would totally cut. Yeah. So yeah, that's the difference. And people see it as, you know, I'm going to Waukesha to, you know, get my gen ed courses, and then I'm going to Madison. That's my goal. And I'm going to graduate from Madison. I'm going to go to do X, Y, and Z.
So, but you can still transfer to a 4-year university from a technical college.
Absolutely.
So I guess that's my point right now, is like, without sounding crass, because I think that there's a lot of people who have, you know, that either graduated from or are fighting for the UW 2-year schools. But at this point, are they redundant? So if you have the option available to go to one of the technical schools, and we've interviewed the president of the Wisconsin Technical College System last week, 2 weeks ago,
we had
the Waukesha president, and like, all the programs they have sounded awesome. And so I think I come back to my question is, do we just have too many universities, and for the amount of in-state kids who are going to higher education, whether that's technical 2-year programs or 4-year programs? And so, do we need to start adjusting that, because there's just not enough people to support this many schools?
I mean, possibly. I mean, maybe looking at like what they're doing, you said with the up north, combining with the technical college. So you say like, all right, I'm just going to use UW Waukesha, now UWM Extension School, as an example. You say, all right, UW-Waukesha, UWM Extension School will now be merged with WCTC, Waukesha County Technical College. It's now going to be one system under the UW system. You can now get your gen ed courses. You can learn a vocation. You can learn a trade there. And so it's all in one place. And instead of having separate buildings, separate campuses, more money being funneled to different things for different people. So maybe it is about combining all of these resources into a more focused way of getting an education, depending on what you want to do.
And don't you just think, too, that the value of what used to be called a liberal arts education just does not translate into the real world anymore?
No.
As far as what it accomplishes. And if I could go back to school and take some of those classes as an enjoyment, but practical application in the real world, and especially when you were talking about people taking on tens of thousands of dollars in debt to study 17th century French poetry, I just don't think that contains any value anymore.
I mean, not unless you have a specific pointed thing. Like if you were going to study that, you're going to say, all right, then I'm going to go get a master's degree. Then I'm going to get a PhD because I want to be a professor because I can't do anything with this other than teach.
And I guess it's hard for me to totally get on board with that because when I think about what I studied in college, which my major was, it was interdisciplinary studies, which was a program where you combined classes from different disciplines. So it was I took public health courses, political science, gender studies, and then I got a minor in public policy.
Okay.
And guess what my job was out of school?
Tech.
And I was working at a consulting company that implemented Salesforce.com into companies. So I was cold calling, like, do you have Salesforce.com? And so, but like, I look back and just the things that I still learned and how I learned how to think and things I still reference. And I think, I don't think I could do this job today and talk for 3 hours a day had I not had that liberal arts education.
And that's the thing is, but that might not just be the education. It's the confluence of the classes, the experiences, your classmates, your professors, you. That's not the same for everybody. I mean, I went to school for political science and I got lucky to start working on campaigns right out of college. And then I got to work in government. But most people who get a political science degree do one of two things. They go to law school or they work in a call center.
What kind of call center?
Any job we can get. My God, I have a political science degree. What am I going to do with this, my dude? So like, I think but if you make the options happen and you avail people to the chances, go for it. Let's do it.
All right. Well, we got to take another break. When we come back, Greg wrote a blog. So we're going to talk about it. And we'd like you to write a blog. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Max Inc. Radio presents Bob Blastica 2023. It's Max Inc.'s 27-year anniversary party, and you're invited. Bob Blastica at the Wisco on Willie Street, Saturday, April 15th. Max Inc. Radio's Jimmy K. Rocker and Terry Barr will broadcast live 6 to 9 p.m. Then live music from Eclipse record recording artist Carbellion. With special guest, Milwaukee's Wizard Hammer. Like a pyre, feathery wings, black in the sky, hands are wings. And Mad City's own hard rockers, Iron Plow. We are the Iron Plow. Hey! It's Bob Blastica 2023, Saturday, April 15th at the Wisco in Madison. Sponsored by Rocker Vodka and Hotel K Pet City. Presented by Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.
My mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
What is dedication?
I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Lows level off around 57 overnight under clear skies. Winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles an hour. High temperatures reach up to 80. Tomorrow, bright sunshine. Mainly clear skies tomorrow night. Lows level off around 52. Mid-70s Friday and Saturday with a chance for scattered thunderstorms Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 66 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
I'm giving you an omnibus every day, every day, every day, every day, every day I write the book.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere, and he is Greg Bach. And Jane, despite all the snow, it seems like there might be some fires happening.
We have a state of emergency. Governor Evers has declared a state of emergency because of elevated wildfire conditions throughout Wisconsin. The DNR is requesting wildlife suppression support from the National Guard because of the elevated fire danger. So basically, if you've been cleaning up your gardens, and I know a lot of people have been jumping outside to try and get that stuff cleaned up, don't burn it today. You don't want to burn it today or the next couple of days. We've got really high winds. I don't know what it's like where you are, but certainly here in the Waukesha area. And so until 8 p.m. tonight, we have this state of emergency across the state for elevated wildfire conditions. So please just keep that in mind.
Is that surprising to you, considering it just feels like all the snow just melted?
Well, and then we had rain, and then we had, but I want to say that we were in a drought last year. And this may have just caught us up, and now we're a little behind again.
What are we, California?
What I'm hearing is don't do any chores outside. So noted.
Exactly,
thank
Greg.
You.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I will take that to heart. I'm just going to not do anything outside today because the government told me to.
Well, it's not that you can't do anything outside. Just don't play with
blah,
fire.
Blah, 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 blah. Can't hear you.
Don't. Do you not want to enjoy the weather?
I want to enjoy the weather, but I want to do... We have a yard now, and there's so much work to do. There's so much work to do.
Again, you can do yard cleanup, Greg, but just don't burn it.
Okay.
All right.
Fine.
All right. Well, exciting news on the As Goes Wisconsin front. So back in 2021, I had attempted to write blog posts on asgoeswisconsin.com to keep up with the videos and everything I was doing. And then it kind of died off. But now we're bringing the blog back.
Heck
so
yeah,
if
baby.
You go to asgoeswisconsin.com/blog, you can see Greg's first blog post from last week where he introduced himself.
Hello.
For anyone who's been listening to our radio show, he is an old hat. But and then today you posted your second blog, which I thought was very clever.
Thank you.
And so I thought I'd give you an opportunity to talk about your thesis from that blog.
My thesis, so it's about Brian Schimming, who is the fairly newly appointed Wisconsin GOP chairman, and his belief that his declaration that he's going to be making some changes, or so more so that there will be no sacred cows that can't be sacrificed. And I found that interesting. And I wrote a blog piece about what he's done thus far. Especially since we had an election. And of course, when there's an election, people are tweeting, people are posting, people are putting themselves out there, endorsing their candidates, and how I felt he's done so far. And I just used a nice comparison. I compared him to the commissioner of the NFL.
Roger Goodell?
Yeah, Roger Goodell.
Not specifically Roger Goodell, but I feel like the serving the many masters.
The position.
Yes.
I do mention Roger Goodell because he's the current one. But yes, I use the NFL's commissioner's post as a comparison of the idea of, you know, NFL commissioner, it's a good job. You're making lots and lots of money. You get to hang out with football players and cool people. But at the end of the day, 32 billionaires have your phone number on their speed dial, and if their day is even the tiniest bit bad, they could take it out on you. It's not like most, like Tim Cook, he doesn't have to care about what most people say other than shareholder, like the board, but like that is got to be a tough job to have, where it's like you're not on top of the pile, you're somewhere in the middle, even though and then, you know.
It'd be interesting to learn more about the politics of that, of where in that pile for the NFL he actually stands versus like power versus being responsive to owners. But also, because I think what you were saying about Brian Schimming is the fact that he is the head of the Republican Party now in Wisconsin. He kind of came in, you referenced the Cap Times article as far as this is a guy with a background working with Tommy Thompson and being more of a moderate. And like I've heard through my different relationships that he's a really good guy.
Yeah.
And I think with having another kind of big loss and the postmortem of why did we lose the candidates, the issues, the messaging. And I think the point that you made that was good as far as it's one thing to have that job. It's another thing to have a ton of different stakeholders telling you versus you telling them. Like, exactly. Which way is the poop rolling down? Towards who?
Yeah. I mean, and that's like I mentioned in the article when I first wrote it a couple weeks ago. It was pre-election, so there was a lot to, and I was really angry. Like I made a mention of this on Twitter. I went through and I started deleting anger responses towards people I disagree with, because it's like, this doesn't make me feel good. They're not listening to me. They're not changing their mind. And also, it's not who I am in reality. Anyways, if Brian Schimming was sitting in this room, I wouldn't be mean to him. I would want to talk to him. I would like to talk to him. I'd like to shake his hand. And if he ever saw one of my tweets, I'd be like, I'm sorry for my reactions. But this is the fourth version of this post for me. And this version is what I'm happiest about, because I look at it from a point of view. He's a human. He's got a job. It's not a job I have. It's not a job I'm qualified for. It's easy for me to be like, yeah, you suck. Yeah, I could say that. But, you know, asking some questions in that article, in that post, you know, what are his plans? Does he really have any plans? Does he really want to make? Like, so when you read it, you'll see all those things. But for me, like when I came up with the idea of commissioner, I'm like, I like that idea. I was really proud of myself. I'm super proud of myself. I felt like a journalist for a moment.
Oh, that's so funny. All right. Well, if you would like to go read Greg's blog, you can do that at asgoeswisconsin.com/blog. But also, we are taking contributions.
Yeah.
The point of the blog is to collect other voices, and whether it's humorous, whether it's politics, whether it's news, whether it's history, the only umbrella is that it has to do with Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And so we would love, if you're interested, if you like to write, if you have something to get off your chest, go to the contact page on As Goes Wisconsin. Get a hold of us. I'll put you in touch with Greg.
Because I'm the coordinator.
He's the coordinator. And so go check out his blog post. Think about, brainstorm something that you would like to write. And then reach out to us. You can also always email us at asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us. But I am very excited about this. We already have a handful of people who reached out with good ideas. Yeah. And so I'm excited to get that up and going.
I'm starting to work on my third one this week.
Ooh.
Too. I know. Hey.
Jane, do you like to write?
I do like to write. Usually, I write better when I'm really annoyed.
Shocking.
Either drunk or annoyed.
Either of those.
So it seems like you'd probably be a good writer all the time. Burn.
Write drunk, edit sober. All right, when we come back, Dan Schaefer will be here. So stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
I'm Ready for a journey to Flavortown? Head over to Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill. They've been serving up the best food in Wrigleyville for 8 years and counting. From their famous smoked chicken wings to their tempura battered cheese curds, every bite is a trip to flavor heaven. And with hospitality that's second to none, you'll feel right at home. So why wait until after the game? Rev up your taste buds and join them at Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill at 3478 North Clark Street in Chicago. Check out their menu on Facebook.
I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. On an earlier edition, we talked to three women, med students, about whether they're going to stay in Wisconsin to practice medicine.
All this Roe v. Wade stuff, and now OBGYN's hands are so tied. I don't want to go through 12 years of training to have some person that didn't do training tell me how to do my job.
It is not a binary choice. You're for or against abortion. It is a healthcare decision. We all have those stories, and people want to hear them.
Don't miss the real story.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.